This is the last Erev Shabbos of the year, the last week of the year. It's brought down in Svarim that the last week of the year, every day of that week can be a tikkun for whatever averus you did that day of the week. So Friday, the last Friday, is a tikkun for the averus of Erev Shabbos, etc. So you can do a very good job. Erev Shabbos is often a shvach day, and avayda, whatever it is, this could be a tikkun. Of course, Shabbos, kal v'chomer, can be a tikkun for all the Shabbosos of the year. I'm sorry, you want to...
Who said this?
It's brought down in the name Talmidim of the Arizal. Anyway, just the Samanyanim of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah mentions, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says there are four special days that are called Rosh Hashanah, Nisan, etc., for various purposes. But when it comes to Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, it says, "Kol bo'ei olam," all of the inhabitants of the world, "Ovrim lefanav," they pass before Hashem, "kivnei moron." And in fact, this finds its expression in the prayer in Nisan HaTokef, that everyone walks before Hashem, "kivnei moron." So the question becomes, what is the translation of "b'nei moron"? The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah actually gives three different translations. One translation, which is the standard English translation, is like sheep that are counted one by one by one as they go through a corral. The other is kechayolosav shel David HaMelech. It's like soldiers in David HaMelech's army who are counted one by one. And the third is Bnei Maron, was the name of a narrow mountain pass in which people can go by one by one. So l'chari, the question is this. The question is that all three pshatim are saying the same thing. Hashem judges us one by one. In other words, we don't have safety in numbers. We're not simply part of an anonymous crowd. But each of us gets judged as a yachid. So what's the nafgamina if I express it as we're judged like sheep, or we're judged like soldiers, or we're like people going through a narrow road? L'chari, the dimyan is the same in all three cases. It simply means we're judged one by one by one, right? So what's the point of the Gemara giving you three translations when all three translations are saying the same idea? So there is a vort here from Rav Itzel Petterberger. Rav Itzel Petterberger, whose name was Rav Yitzchak Blazer, but he was the Rav of St. Petersburg, was the Talmud Muvak of Rav Yisrael Salanter. And he is the one who put together the Or Yisrael, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Musar, and he wrote a Hakdama with different Maisim. So in the Hakdama to the Or Yisrael, he gives the following pshat, that the Gemara is not saying the same thing, but there are three different nuances here. And that is the following. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that if you have a melech and the people, melech v'ha'am, who does Hashem judge first? In other words, in terms of sequencing, does Hashem judge the melech first or judge the people first? So the Gemara says, Beferish, that Hashem judges the melech first. Why is that so? In order that the melech should be judged at a time when Hashem's charein af has not been increased. Because what's the pshat? The pshat is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the people first and he'll see so many averos, then when the melech is judged, the melech will be judged at a time of charein af. And since so many people depend on the melech, Hashem wants to judge the melech at a time when there's no charein af. Now again, I understand that this raises a lot of questions. What do you mean charein af? I mean, Hashem gets progressively upset. I mean, Hashem knows ahead of time. This we can't fully explain. But in human terms, we see such a thing. You know, it's very common. I come from the academic environment, and I'll tell you, for those of you that were in college, should know that the first papers a teacher marks, he marks with Midas HaRachamim, but as it goes further and further and further on, there's more of a Midas HaDin, because all the mistakes are very annoying. Now, Lahavdo, I mean, this is only a Dimyan, Bialma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment is described, at least, in the same way, that when you're judged later, there's a certain charein af because of the accumulation. So the melech goes first. So we see from this Gemara, even though we don't really understand it, we see from this Gemara that it is better to be judged earlier than later. Because when you're judged later in the process, there's a certain bechina of charein af that is ma'orer midas hadin. And this you see, even though we don't fully understand it. So Rav Itzler wants to say, how is a person zeicha to be judged first? I want to be judged first, actually. So he says there are three different ways you could be zeicha to be judged first. And the Gemara's Marames to this, and it's three explanations of B'nai Maran. Let's take sheep, right? Sheep. When sheep are going through a corral, sheep don't form a line. They're not polite. They push through. So which sheep is going to go through first? The strongest and most aggressive. That's a remez to people who are zeicha to a din because of their righteousness, because of their shtarkeit, because of their strength. In other words, Hashem takes them first because they are worthy and deserving of midas harachamim. So Hashem judges them first. So the analogy of B'nai Maron equaling sheep, sheep go through a line based on their strength. In Ruchnius, your strength is not your physical, of course. Your strength is your Torah and your Maisim Taivim. That's Bechina number one. Bechina number two is how your Zeicha is a total mystery. And that's the Bechina of V'chanaisi Eis Asher Achayim. There is a certain Hanhaga in the world that Hashem has a midas harachamim for reasons we don't understand. Like, why are tzaddikim suffer? Why do Hashem prosper? This is a secret. This is the unknown. There's the unknown X factor. That is merumas in the soldiers of Beis David, because what is being described in the Gemara is essentially a draft system in which we have 10,000 soldiers, and we have to decide which of them will go to war and which will stay home. So essentially they do a lottery. Now the lottery itself is not a logical process. It doesn't say why you were chosen and why you weren't chosen. But it represents the sod of a chanaisi es asher achayim. Right? So on one hand, sheep represents those who are zeicha badin techila because of their tzidkus. Chayolot shel beis David represents those who are zeicha to din for reasons that are totally mysterious. But then we have one more pshat, and that is the narrow mountain pass where people can only go through. Now, people are different than sheep. Sheep don't make lines, so a sheep will push through if it's strongest. With people, although it doesn't always work in Eretz Yisrael, but with people, it's whoever gets there first is supposed to go through first. So Rav Itzel says, that's merames to the people who prepare themselves for the Yom HaDin. If you want to be zeicha ladin, so the earlier you prepare yourself for the din, the more likely it is you'll get Hashem's rahmah. So even if one is not a big tzaddik the whole year, but if he's meichen himself for din, that's a schus. So Rav Itzel points out that in the month of Elul already, it might be too late to be the tzaddik that is zeicha to rachamim because he's a tzaddik. And v'chanaisi es asher rachayim is bichlal not in our power. We don't even know how that works. But the third bechina, that if one prepares themselves, ladin, they could be zeicha to be judged first, that is biyodeinu. And even though you're going to raise the obvious logistical question, but if everybody hears this Musar Vort and prepares themselves Ladin, now, but the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. So the pshat is, if everybody is doing the same Achana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts everybody first in the line. I mean, even though Mitzad us, that's not possible, but Mitzad the Bayrei, that's possible too. Virtual reality. In other words, each of you can be the first one through the Zechus of Achana and the light. Yeah.
Why not the second one?
Because the second one, we don't even know what it is. The second one is Hashem has rachamim for reasons we don't understand. So even a Rosh Hagomer might be zeicha to rachamim. But you know, there's no way you can predict that. There's nothing in your hands to invoke that. That is the rachamim that is the sod of a chanaisi es asher rachayim. Maybe we'll get that, maybe we won't. But that's not biodeinu. There's nothing we do to get that particular thing. In fact, the Ramban even writes in his Drasha to Rosh Hashanah that when we say tzaddikim are inscribed for life. Now, the question everyone, all the Rishayim ask is, many people die during the year. So the Ramban actually has a very unusual definition. Tzaddikim does not mean, the Ramban says, righteous people are inscribed for life. It's just a statement. Those who are found innocent by Hashem, in other words, those who are found zakai, not innocent, zakai by Hashem, are inscribed for life. Now, but who's found zakai? Sometimes a Russia might be found zakai because he should get his reward in this world. In other words, it's not making a statement, righteous people will live. It's just saying, whoever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mezakeh badin, and that could be all sorts of people, will get life. Whoever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mezakeh badin, so tzaddik and Russia, the Ramban says, not all, the Rambam doesn't learn this way. Tzaddik in Russia does not mean righteous people and evil people. It just means the people who are exonerated, me'ezetam sheyia, are given chayim, and the people that are not exonerated, me'ezetam sheyia, are given misa. But it's not telling me who is the tzaddik and who is the Russian. Yeah.
Is there an explanation why older people are less likely to be
zakah? Well, yeah, there is a good explanation, because actually it's not the one that I said, but the Maral writes. The Maral writes that when Hashem says you're nichtav l'chayim, that doesn't mean you'll live the whole year, but it means you will be zbeicha to be mamale the number of years HaKadosh Baruch Hu assigned to you when you were born. So like this, what I'm saying is the following. Even if somebody dies the day after Rosh Hashanah, that doesn't mean they were nichtav l'misa. They were nichtav l'chayim to be memale shenaseyim, which happens then the day after Rosh Hashanah. And conversely, nichtav l'misa doesn't even mean the guy's going to die, but it means Hashem was geyser, he will not be memale the allotment, but maybe he'll live more than a year. You see, so if you understand that nichtav l'chayim, the Maral says, doesn't mean you get life, but it means you're given the zechus to be memale shenaisef, then even if an older person dies in the middle of the year, that's not because there was a nichtav l'misa, but his nichtav l'chayim was, yeah. Yeah, this, his name is Rav Yitzchak Blazer. It was his name, Rav Yitzchak Blazer. Yes, yes. No, well, that's taken from the Gemara, but his explanation is on the Gemara. Rav Yitzchak Blazer, and that was his name, but he's known as Rav Itzela Petzerberger. That's his nickname. Rav Itzel is Yitzchak, and Petzerberger because he was the Rav of Petersburg. And he was the Talmud Muvak of Rav Yisrael Salanter. B'Seif Yamav, he lived in Yerushalayim, so he actually spent a number of years here. Yeah.
What's the idea of somebody who dies after Yom Kippur means that they're a tzaddik?
Well, once again, like the Maral, the fact that he died could have just meant he was Mamala Shenaisef, right? So that's not a problem. And the reason why there's an extra measure of tzidkus is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't take him from the world until he was zeicha to the great kapara of Yom Kippur. Now that's a tremendous zechus, because that means he enters the Olam HaEmes without the burden of chatoim.
So when he dies in between Rosh and Yom Kippur, means that they're in Russia?
No, lav dafka. It could be a lot of things. First of all, a person who dies before Rosh and Yom Kippur could have been a result of the chasima last Yom Kippur, right? In other words, it's actually not a result of this year. And even last Yom Kippur, once again.
And then he should have died before Rosh Hashanah.
I understand, but sometimes, but since until the chasima of the new year, there can still be a midas adin of the old year. But the way the Maral explains, if a person is given a certain number of years when they're born, their neshama is given a certain number of years. So mimela, even if a person dies in the middle, I mean, listen, everybody's going to die in the middle of a year or in Rosh Hashanah. I mean, everyone's going to die, right? I mean, that's unfortunately our situation. So it doesn't mean the last year of your life inevitably you were a Russia. I mean, the greatest tzaddik in the world is going to die at some point until Tchias HaMeisim. So the Maral says that the concept is, but he was Mamale Shenaisav, right? Mamale Shenaisav. So even if you're Nichtav L'chaim and Nechtam L'chaim, a person could die because this is when his natural allotment was given. Remember, David HaMelech, you see this, David HaMelech, his neshama was only given a natural allotment of three hours. And other Marishan had to give up 70 years, right? Yeah, you have said. Yeah, like the Ramban for sure, there's never a problem. Like the Ramban, you can never extrapolate from anything that happens to a person that he was a Rasha or a Tzaddik, because Rasha and Tzaddik are not righteousness terms in this mimer. Rasha and Tzaddik just means Rasha is the one who emerged unsuccessful, Tzaddik emerged successful, and there might be gazillions of cheshbainis for that. Yeah, like the Ramban for sure. But the Rambam doesn't. The Rambam doesn't learn that. The Rambam Vaday learns that Rasha and Tzaddik refers to righteousness. Yeah, yeah, yes.
According to the Lashon, Tzaddik and Gemurim and Rasha and Gemurim. So, okay, maybe you could push the first part.
Yeah.
Tzaddik and Din, Tzaddik and Din.
Yeah,
yeah. So how do you explain a Russian Gemara that you could have been a Tzaddik for Maisa, but because you're not being Zoche in life right now, you're called a Russian Gemara? The name Russian Gemara doesn't fit on someone who's not being given.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to know. The Ramban is certainly not defining the term as it appears all the places.
No, but even in this case, what's the connection to Russian Gemara? And
yeah, yeah. So, well, again, it's a little bit of a kvetch. According to Ramban, tzaddik gomor just means.
Tzaddik gomor, I can hear it because yeah,
No, Russia gomor just means that meyezatam shi, and we don't know the reason. How Kadosh Baruch Hu is judging you right now, as that you're. In other words, he's not giving you these man of kesiva and chasima. He's giving you something immediately. Well, the word Russia. Okay. In fact, if you learn Makkos, this actually fits. You know, v'yitzdiku es tzaddik v'yirshiyu es harasha. That the concept of tzaddik in Russia does not always refer to good guys and bad guys. It refers to innocent people and guilty people. And the Ramban touches up that Russia just means he lost the case, so to speak. Now, maybe he lost the case, Pumfakir, because he's such a great tzaddik that he's a kapara for the door, or he's such a great tzaddik that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to have an onesh and olam hazeh, right? Now, losing the case doesn't mean Russia. Right? It's an unusual pshat, but this is the Ramban in his drasha on Maseches Rosh Hashanah.
We're talking just about
yeah, that's Shita Sataisis. There's a big problem. Obviously, the Nusach HaTfilah of Rosh Hashanah does not follow that, because in the Nusach HaTfilah, we vaday talk about the Inyanim of Olam Hazeh, the Sana Tokif in particular. Mi Yichye, Mi Yomos, Mi Bekitzo, Mi Shalo Bekitzo, Mi Barash. It could be both. Of course, this is a very deep question. That is, what shayach a din of Olam Haba on Rosh Hashanah? What every Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides if I'm roi for Olam Haba? Why? If I'm not going to die, why is it no geya? It's Olam Haba l'chayra is a judgment Hashem has to make when a person dies. When a person, but the answer is this. The answer is, it's a complicated idea, that in effect, what happens to you in Olam Hazeh is taloi on how much Olam Haba you're zeichet to. Meaning, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at your actions and sees that your Olam Haba has to be so-and-so, so he has to do things in Olam Hazeh to purify you, etc. So in effect, the Olam Hazeh is a taitzah of the person's zechiyah in Olam Haba. That's going to determine everything that happens. But I want to go on to another. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So then, how
many
is that pshat that you're being hidden in Olam Haba?
That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. Which means ultimately, Taisus is maskim that there's a din in Olam Haba. Ultimately, and that's miyashiv the seder hatfila. Yeah.
When you say Russia and Sadek, does it mean Russia means he has more sins than?
Well, this is not the Ramban's definition, but the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva clearly says that Tzaddik is more mitzvahs than Averos, and Russia is more Averos than mitzvahs. But then the Rambam goes on and makes a very important point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a counting system that is not Moser B'Yadeno, meaning the following. It's not a numerical thing. It's not like, 51 and 49. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe a mitzvah that you do might count for a million mitzvahs, right? Because of the hardship and the tsar, and maybe an avera might count for a million averas, right? In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a secret system of assigning values to mitzvahs and averis. But once that secret system is applied, the Rambam does say, tzaddik in Russia is taloi on rov zechuyais and rov avonos. Yeah.
So what's a tzaddik gemor in Russia?
A tzaddik gemor. Yeah, according to the numerical pshat.
Yes.
Well, the Sefer HaChinuch says, according to this, a tzaddik gomor, it's almost not benimtza, has no averis at all. And a Russia gomor has no zechuyis at all. According to that, the Rishonim ask on it, they say that those categories are pashut, non-existent categories. Yeah, that is a big problem. Yeah. By the way, I want to point out, it's not so clear that there is a girsa in the Gemara. The girsa is very complicated. It is not so clear that there's a girsa tzaddikim gemurim. Many are goris just tzaddikim. Yeah. Many just say tzaddikim are inscribed for life. That doesn't say, it's not necessarily the girsa tzaddikim gemurim. You have to check. Many Mishnayim are not goris tzaddikim gemurim. Yeah.
Does anyone hold that, let's say you have 100 mitzvahs, and 10 averis, the averis will just cancel out and he'll never get punished for them?
You know, this is a big problem I have. I've been looking for a yeshiva, I have to be honest with you, for 25 years. The pashtus, and this is what we learn all the time, is the Gemara in Saita says, Beferish, Ein avera mechaba mitzvah, v'ein mitzvah mechaba avera. Now what that means is, we are accountable for everything. Meaning to say, if I have 1,000,000 mitzvahs and I have 500,000 averis, it's not the pshat that the 500,000 averis take away my 500,000 mitzvahs and I don't, rather, I get olam haba for everything I did and there'll be gehenim and onesh for my averis. In other words, two separate cheshbonos. And yet, if you look in the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, it's borer from the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva that if a person leaves the world with rov zechuyas, again, with Hashem's secret counting method, granted, the Rambam says, yeah, that's very important, but if a person leaves the world with rov zechuyas, after Hashem's counting, if I have 51 mitzvahs and 49 averis, the Rambam is borer that there's no gehenim, there's no onesh, and I will not get punished for those averis. That's borer in the Rambam. Now, The way some people learn, this is a partial yeshiv, they say that goes back to the idea, so Hashem will be ma'anish you in Eilam Hazeh on the 49. In other words, when the Rambam says you're not going to get punished for the minority of Averos, he doesn't mean they simply get forgotten, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu will build it into the Eilam Hazeh that you'll be purified. Masha'in Kain, if you leave the world with Rav Averos, that already they'll be gehenim for. So the Rambam does say Beferish that at least Lagabe Eilam Haba, which is not Mekushar to Rosh Hashanah, Lagabe Eilam Haba, the Rambam says you are Nidain Achar Rubai, which implies there is no gehenim for me at Avinus. Now the Gra Beferish, he doesn't mention the Rambam, that's why it bothers me, but the Gra says in many places that there are two separate cheshbonos, and the cheshbon of mitzvahs has no connection to the cheshbon of averis, and these are separate things. Yeah.
The Rambam speaking with Paul, he's saying you left the world with this cheshbon, so how can you say that it was filled it into the way Hashem treated you up until now, when this is what the state is saying
now? It's a good kasha, because you're saying that if it was taken care of, then you don't have anything by the time you leave. Yeah, it's a good kasha. It's a bit of a tzarichian. People learn this Rambam every year, and they just read it like there's no problem, but there's really a tremendous problem. Maybe it's not a problem for care, it's a big kula for us, but the Rambam seems to articulate a gavaldika kula in which the miyad averis just disappear. Yeah.
We paskin like the Rambam and everything. Will we get paskin like the Rambam?
Well, on inyanim of Dinei Shemaim, it's very hard to say that a Kodesh Baruch, the issue is how does a Kodesh Baruch paskin at that point? It's not how we paskin.
When Zadikin paskin something, it becomes a...
It's itachin, but I think that, we have to... There must be something in the Rambam that we don't fully understand. I think the statement as it reads and as we think it says seems not to stem with many other things. But all right, listen, Rav Tzaddik writes, if a person is, that you see an interesting concept generally, that Psak Halacha is not always totally on objective emes, but sometimes if a person has midos tovos, he's zeicher that the halacha is like him. The raya is from Beis Hillel. The Gemara says, why is the halacha like Beis Hillel connected Beis Shammai? So it doesn't say because Beis Hillel is more logical or Beis Hillel is more emes. It says beferish because they were anavim, they were modest, and they always mentioned divrei Beis Shammai before themselves. So you might say, well, that's very nice, but how is that nogeya lahalacha? How is that nogeya to be kaveya halacha? I mean, kaveya halacha, the issue is not who's the nicer person, but you see fakert, in halacha, halacha could be nikva, even al pi midos taivas in shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskin mitzad midos. So maybe, at least if we're zaycha to the midos taivas, we could be saimich on the Rambam for this.
Yeah. Did you say another place that the accounts of the Beis Hillel and the Shammai?
Yeah, that's another. So Taisa says in Maseches Yevamos that the din that you follow the majority is only when they're all sitting together like a Beis Din. But if Beis Hillel is there and Beis Shammai is there, Beis Shammai is not mechuyev to follow a majority. Just like, you know, Revel Yashav. I mean, you know, I'll give you so many examples. You know, Revel Yashav is here, Gadol Hador, and then there might be 700 rabbis in the United States who paskin not like him. So Acharei Rabbim, and the answer is Havada, you know, they're not mechuyev, Rabbi Yosef is not mechuyev to be mevatel his das to 700 other rabbanim, because it's only a din in a Sanhedrin. When we're all sitting together, then we take a vote, then there's a chiyev.
Maybe you can try to say the parak's discussion, the Rambam.
Yeah.
Maybe the Rambam was talking about we had like a scale. So we had 51 mitzvahs and 49 averis that are on the same level, same madrigal of mitzvah, and same madrigal of
same madrigal, yeah.
So then the scale will tip a little higher on the mitzvahs and you'll go to Olam Haba. But maybe the Grah that's saying differently is saying that an avera could be, one avera could be worse than all 51 mitzvahs. You have different levels of averis. So maybe you'll be punished for an avera that's on a worse level.
Yeah, even though the scale still, remember, the Gra is talking about the scale tipped in favor of the mitzvahs. I mean, the Gra is not talking about your nidain as a Rasha. If you nidain as a Rasha, then the Rambam also says you get Gehenim and then you go to Olam Haba. Right? So
maybe the scale tips according to the numbers.
Yeah.
So there's 51 mitzvahs, but there's 49 avera. So the numbers tip to the 51 side. But there's one avera in the 49 that's so bad that could make you still go to Gehenim.
Okay, you know, it's Shaykh. And the Rambam himself, see, the Rambam himself mentions that too, that even if a person has Rov Zechuyos, there are certain Averis, like Poshe Yisrael Begufan, someone who never wore tefillin. So the Rambam himself says your idea. So you want to say that's what the Gra means as well. I hear. A little story about this. I have to tell you this. You know, Chabad has its tefillin campaign, you know, and there's an Inyan Taka, because it says that if a person never put on tefillin in his life, there's a special kind of Einish for that, even if he did it once. So they tell a Maisa, but, you know, the Nachlas David, you know, we use the Nachlas David, great Akron, the Talmud Muvik of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So the Nachlas David once needed money for, he was very, very poor, and he needed money to marry off a daughter, so he asked one of his people who came to him if he could give him some money. So the person says, well, I live in another shtut, and I give all my tzedakah to the Rav of the shtut, and, you know, you should go to your kehillah and ask him for money. Yeah. So the Nachlas David told him a maisa about a person who yarshined tefillin v'yerusha, and these were tefillin that were mohuter. They came from a great, great cipher, and you know, he gave up his whole yerusha for these tefillin. Can I get the other brothers? And he was makbit to only put on that tefillin day after day after day. And one time he was stuck in a village. He thought he'd only be there in the afternoon and get back, but he was forced to stay overnight, and he didn't have his tefillin with him. So the next morning, with so much chabrata, he had to put on regular tefillin, somebody's tefillin. And he thought, all right, for mincha, I'll be back and I'll put on my tefillin. But he didn't get back for mincha, so it was for falun. So his whole life, he was bitsar that there was one day in his life that he didn't really wear tefillin muhudarim. So Acher Meir V'Esrim Shana, he goes up to Shemayim. And, you know, he's Reiv Zechiyos, he was a big tzaddik. But the pshat is, all of a sudden, the sultan comes out and says, nope. He's karkafte leimanach tefillin. He's a person who never wore tefillin. He has to go to Gehenna, even though afterwards he'll go to Olam Haba. So the person was, he didn't understand it. How was it shaykh? And then another malach said, nope, he put on kosher tefillin one day in his life. It wasn't that village. So it turned out that for whatever reason, the Mehudarim were pasul. And the only time he put on tefillin in his life was that one day. So the Nachlas David told the person, listen, you're giving gevaldige tzedakas. But who knows? Maybe the opportunity I'm giving you is the one that'll really count. You know, you never know. You never know what it is. Okay, so I don't know if he responded or not. Okay. But anyway, so think about this. It's a mitzvah liyashiv. It's very, very difficult. This is in Perek Gimel of Hilchas Tshuva. That's where the Rambam says this thing. Yeah. I don't think he could say that in the Rambam, but that's very interesting. You know where the Rav Tzedek is? No, that's very good. So I just want to share with you another machshava here. And that is, if you look at the Iker Tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, the Iker Tefillos of Rosh Hashanah are actually not about our own bakashas. We have Zochreinu L'chaim, that's to be sure, but that's from the Gaonim. That's not even Medina de Gemara. The Sana Taikef, which talks about, you know, our life and death, that's also a piyut. That's not the takana of the Anshei Knesset Hagdailah. If you look at the actual davening that was mesukin by the Anshei Knesset Hagdailah, you find that it is not at all concerned with what will happen to me, will I live, but all of it is about the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kiddush Hashem, v'chein tein pachtecha. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to spread his malchus on the world. We say malchias achreinus v'sheifres. The malchias, the psukim of Hashem is melech, the zechreinus, so I will talk about that too. But Rav Chaim Volozhiner says the following. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says that the central avodah of Rosh Hashanah is we're not mispalel for ourselves, but we're mispalel for the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even when we ask for life, what we're asking for is we're asking for the zechus of being mishtatef in harbatzas kvayt shemayim. Now he says, in spreading the glory of Hashem, now he says, that itself is a great segula for our own personal needs. Why? Because the Gemara says, HaMispalel al chaveray, v'hu tzarech liyaseh davar. I daven for my friend, and I need the same thing. I'm going to be nene techila, right? The raya is, Avram is mispalel for Avimelech, that they should have children. And the Eibishter answers Avram and Sarah immediately that Sarah becomes pregnant. This is why you have to be mispalel. You know, when if you need a shidduch, you need a child, so you're mispalel for somebody else. By the way, it can't work as a trick. It can't really work. I really care about myself, but I'll daven for somebody else. So, in other words, you have to pray really for the other person. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner says a gevaldige zach. He says, "Who is chaveire? Chaveire." Chaveire can also be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An amazing idea. On one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avinu, Malkeinu, but he's also our friend. Shteitin Pasuk, Reyacha, V'Reya Avicha. Ani L'daydi, I am for my beloved. V'daydi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our friend. Even when we feel alone in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us. So Zok Rav Chaim Volozhiner, HaMispalel al chaveire. If I am mispalel for the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I have needs, the Eibishter will answer me because of the selflessness of my tefillah for kavod shemayim. HaMispalel al chaveire.
For who tzorich li yaseh davar. Yeah. That means if someone dies with a friend just because they want the same thing, it's not going to work.
It may not work. It has to be. It has to be a selfless. In fact, some actually touch up like this. Some actually even read that into the Maimer Chazal. HaMispalel al chaveirei V'hu tzarech li'aseh davar. The translation is this. I daven for you because I feel that your need is what I really need. In other words, I need to be mamala your chisar, and I'm not doing it for me. But rather, your tzarech is as real to me as if I don't have it. You see, that it's the selflessness of that tefillah. So the whole avodah of Rosh Hashanah is to be mamlech. That's why among Hasidim in particular, the first night of Rosh Hashanah, or Rosh Hashanah Bichlal, is the Yom HaKhtara, the Yom HaKetzah. Ketzah is coronation or enthronement. Because the avodah of Rosh Hashanah is to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interessant, there's even a machlekes between the Gra and the Arizal. What is the hergish that you have in the Zman of Tekiyah Shofar? The Arizal says, Tekiyah Shofar is the summons to din. It's the alarm that's saying you're going to be judged. The emotion of Shofar is charada, ema, pachad. The Gra says the opposite. The Gra says the Shofar is the joyous coronation where you're mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a simcha. There's a joy. Now the emes is, it's Eilu V'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, because we talk to say by Shofar, Sasanechi Alim Rasecha, I rejoice over your Torah, K'meitzei Shalal Rav. But we also have Pesukim of Ema, Holy Shemata Al Talei Masnach, all sorts of things. The emes is, Rav Soloveitchik actually wants to give a pshara. He actually wanted to say, maybe there's a chiluk. No, we blow Shofar two different places. Actually, we do three different places. But the two main places are, we blow it before Musaf, which is called Tekios Demiyushev, the sitting Tekios. Even though we stand, but since it's not in Shemona Esrei, we're allowed to sit. And the Tekios during Musaf is called Tekios Demu'umad, because it's during Shemona Esrei. Svardim and Hasidim actually blow in the Tefillah B'Lachash. Most Ashkenazim only blow in the Chazaras Hashatz. But Rav Soloveitchik wants to say that the Tekiyas de Miyushev is the Hazman al Adin, like the Arizal, because the Zman Adin is during Musaf. But the Tekiyas de Miyumad in Chazaras Hashatz is being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The emes is, as a little Ha'ara, that Rav Soloveitchik's Chiluk the Chayre is connected to Ramban in the Drasha of Rosh Hashanah, where the Ramban asks the Kasha, why do you blow in Musaf if you already blew before Musaf? And the Ramban actually says, the mitzvah of the Kiyas Shofar, you were Yaitzei before Musaf. But we blow during Musaf because since it's a Zman Hadin during Musaf, Rosh Hashanah is an Ace Sora, and you blow Shofar in an Ace Sora. So the Ramban says, Beferish, the Tekiyas of Musaf are a sara. By the way, Derek Agav, I want to point out, I'm saying it again?
That's not like the Grimes, not like the Arizal. Both connected to Ramban.
Well, the Ramban doesn't... No. The Ramban says, the Tekiyas Shofar, you might say by the Miyushif. Now, the Ramban doesn't address what's the mood there. The Ramban only says a sara on the Musaf one. In other words, it's like Rapsal, it's like in reverse. I want to point out what the Ramban is trying to say, but the Ramban is actually giving you a kula. Let me explain what the Ramban is saying. You know, we announce every day, every year, in yeshiva, and most shuls as well, that you're not allowed to talk, putting aside that you're not allowed to talk during Chazal Shashatz the whole year, but whatever it is, but you're not allowed to talk from the Birchas HaShofar till the end of the 100 kolos after Musaf. Now, why aren't you allowed to talk? Because the bracha of Tekiyas Shofar is going on both the Miyushev and the Mu'umad, and it's all one Kiyam HaMitzvah, and you're not allowed to be mafsik. So I want to point out, the Ramban is actually being chaylik on that halacha. The Ramban is actually saying you are allowed to talk, because his shita is, the mitzvah of Tekiyas Shofar is finished by the Miyushev, and the Mu'umad is a separate blowing called Tekiyah B'Esorah, which is not based on any mitzvah the Araisa, but since it's an Esorah, we're Tokeya, like on a Tainus, you're Tokeya. So the Ramban is actually trying to say a leniency to permit Hefsik. Okay, but don't be mafarsim on this, because we're not... Yeah. I mean, you know, if you have to, but l'chatchila, the Shulchan Aruch Avada Paskin, you're not allowed to be mafsik, you know. Yeah. But the Ramban was actually using this cheshbon to be mekel.
If you're using that time like for a year, leading
Well, that might be anyway. You know, that might be hefsek litzarich tefila, which is mutter anyway. Just like we answer amen. I mean, that might be mutter anyway. You know, so. I mean, the shmut. Yeah, it's probably not unless you really have to. I would say it's better not to do it. But yeah, the Ramban would allow it. Well, this is the one. This is the two days a year where the shul is quiet. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true also. No, but people seem to. I mean, listen, the people who aren't so from don't keep this halacha, don't know this halacha, so they wander in and out anyway. They wander in and out. But one second. But keep in mind, everyone's maida that the basic mitzvah of the kiyas shofar you are yaitzi with shleishim kolos. When you blow for women after davening, you don't blow 100 kolos. You blow 30 kolos. So avada the doraisa of the kiyas shofar, everybody's maida there yaitzi. The only thing is that those who are chaylik on the Ramban say that we try to be mitztarif everything to the bracha of the kiyas shofar. That's a lechatchila. It's a heder. It's not. An absolute requirement. Yeah.
What you said. What questions are you allowed to ask on what can you ask on
So you can always ask for spiritual things for a very simple reason. If Rosh Hashanah is about the glory of Hashem, so you can ask that may I have the sechus to be given the kalim, to be given the talents and the abilities and the opportunities. To be able to be Makadei Shem Shemayim. And for that I need life, I need health, I need those things, but I'm asking for Kavod Shemayim. The Zohar is actually very critical of people who just focus on their personal. The Zohar HaKadosh actually says, some say we don't pass it like the Zohar, but they say, those who say on Rosh Hashanah, I want Mezonos, I want Parnassa, they are like the dogs who are barking, give me meat, give me food. He says, what type of thing? On Rosh Hashanah you ask, for Kavod Shemayim, he says, yeah.
Are you allowed to ask a parnasa if it can help you? If you can help.
Well, I think we have to say that because we say in Rosh Hashanah, Kasveinu b'sefer v'inu malkeinu, Kasveinu b'sefer parnasa v'chalkala. Right, so it's boror that we do ask for parnasa in Rosh Hashanah, but it has to be in the perspective of Kavod Shemayim. Yeah.
Is that why you're not supposed to say?
That's exactly right. The Svarim say that even kaparas avonos, like your own tshuva, so you're not going to get punished. Even that is like an egotistical thing. You don't do in Rosh Hashanah. That's why you don't say vidoy in Rosh Hashanah. Some even take out some. Arminag is not to. They don't even say the first line of Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefnecha, because you don't say vidoy on Rosh Hashanah, although we do say that. So it's be very, very selfless. Now, well, some say you don't. I mean, yeah, other minhag is people do, but for that, yeah, even on Rosh Hashanah. But certainly vidoy is not. We don't say a whole vidoy, right? We don't say Hashanah. We don't say.
If you come along, let's say, not so much
on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, you're mamlech Hashem, and then Sarah Shemay Tshuva, you work on individual.
Before you judge, don't you want to like say, well, I'm going to change.
Well, do it before Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, you used to have a few days. Make Kabbalahs now. It's a good idea. Yeah.
Also,
yeah, I'm sorry.
It's not a problem.
Not in Rosh Hashanah, yeah.
And there's also knowing and asking mechila for Rosh Hashanah. Well, that's all about yourself.
No, before Rosh Hashanah, yeah, during the month of Elul, you can serve. Yeah, on Rosh Hashanah, you don't ask mechila. That's correct. That's correct. In a sense, what it does is it puts you in a frame of mind. In other words, what you're doing is this: you're mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're makir that the tachlis of your life. Is Avodas Hashem. Once you have fixed your general priority of life, the meaning of your life, and the purpose of your life, then you go down and you determine how to fix your individual personality. But that's derivative. That is a tight saw. Right? Like the Mesilas Yesharim says, the first line of Mesilas Yesharim, right? That a person has to know what is his tachlis in the world. And only then can you evaluate, am I going towards my tachlis? Am I not going towards my tachlis? So, the process of tshuva is to determine, am I going towards my goal in life? Am I not? But Rosh Hashanah is not about that. Rosh Hashanah is about defining your goal. Once you define your goal, then Aseret Yemei Tshuva is, am I going the right way? Am I going the wrong way? Rosh Hashanah is defining the way. Then you look at, what way am I walking on? Right. So it's a different avod. Rosh Hashanah, again, is the day of hamlacha, the day of coronation, and the like. Let me just mention one final thing, and that is, Rav Hirsch says very, very nice thoughts about the kailas of Tekiyas Shofar. And other svarim say similar ideas. He says like this. He says, Rosh Hashanah was the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon. Created Adam HaRishon. Right? So, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the godly neshama of Adam HaRishon? Through neficha, breathing. Vayipach biyapov nishmas chayim. So Rav Hirsch says, the kol shofar that comes out through neficha is a zecher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu being bayreyas Adam. We're kind of reenacting, re-experiencing. In reverse, though, because we're blowing out. It's like we're giving our life back to God. Right? We're saying to Hashem, Hashem, here's my life, and I'm begging you to give it to me again. But Rav Hirsch says, the kail of tekiah, which is strong, unbroken, that represents the holiness of the neshama before chet. It's pure, it's strong, it's unwavering. We then come to the shvarim, broken, smashed up. That represents the chatoim, which are pogeim, the neshama. The trua is a sound of crying. That's the bechi of the one who is makir his chisarin and wants to come back to Hashem. And what is the call after the trua? Another tekiah. Because Hashem is makabel the tshuva. And we restore the nefesh to what it was. And not only that, but the last tekiah is longer than the first tekiah. Not always, but the tekiah gedola. Because b'makam shabali tshuva undim, tzadikim gemurim, einam yichaylam lamaba. Now the emes is, this idea that the tekiah is merames to the tzadikim, and the shvarim trua is merames to the people who fell and do tshuva, the Prima Gadim actually says as well. And the Prima Gadim uses it to be masbir, a very, very shver nusach in the bracha of Shifras. And it says the following. Here, I hope you have a good memory for the machzer. It says, Ki ata shamea kol shayfar, you Hashem hear the kol shayfar, umazin trua, and your ma'azin, which also means here, the trua, yein day melach. So what's the difference between shaymeya kol shayfar and mazin trua? And it says shaymeya to shayfar and mazin to trua. Okay, so it's, let's say it's poetical, but then look what it says. Baruch Ata Hashem, shomeya kol trua. So mimanavshach. Initially, you said shomeya to shayfar and mazin to trua. And then you say shomeya kol trua. You put shomeya and trua together. How do you explain the back and forth there? So the Prima Gadim says the following yisayd. He wants to neman that kol shayfar, he says, is tekiah. Kol shayfar. And trua is both the shvarim and the trua, because in fact the Torah only says trua, we have a suffix. So he says like this, he says, what is the difference between shaymeya and hazana? Now I know this is fakert from Rashi, I know you can ask me this kasha, but the Prima Gadim says, based on another medrash, that shemiya is bekarev. When I'm near you, I could be shomeya. When I'm far, I gotta stretch my ear, hazana. So shemiya is mikarev, hazana is mirachak. Now Rashi says absolutely fakert. Okay, but so zok the Prima Gadim like this: if I say that tekiah is a remez to tzadikim, ki ata shomeya kol shayfar, Hashem is near to the tzaddik. Hashem has a relationship of shemiya to the tzaddik. But the trua, the one who's broken up, the one that's a brachim, the one that does chatoyim, Hashem is far from him. But Hashem is still mazin from a distance to the stirrings of the heart, the yisairus in the lave. Hashem sees that and feels that. But when the person does a tshuva gemura, right, shomeya kol trua, that Hashem starts off with a hazana, it becomes a kol trua. When the hirhurim of the lave become a kol, in other words, they become visible and implemented in life, Hashem becomes a shomei as well. So it starts off, shomeya kol shayfar, is karev l'tzadikim, mazin trua, rachayk from rishayim, but is mazin, strives to listen to the stirrings of the lave, of the truas alev. But when the tshuva is truly done, shomeya kol trua, there is even a kirov relationship, a closeness even to the trua, when it becomes a kol, when it goes from the lave and it becomes something that's exemplified. It's a gevaldike pshat from the Prima Gadim in the Nusach of the Bracha. Again, let me point out that it is fakert from Rashi, because Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Hazinu, Hazinu Hashamayim Sishma Ha'aretz. So Rashi says Moshe is closer to Shemayim than Eretz spiritually. So Moshe says Hazana to the Shemayim because that's where he's closest to. V'sishma ha'aretz is because he's rachak from the Eretz. He says Shmiya is mirachak, as opposed to Yeshayahu, who says Shimi Shemayim v'hazini Eretz. Yeshayahu is closer to the Eretz, right? So Rashi says b'feirish, Hazana is karev and Shmiya is rachak. How he explains the bracha, that's difficult. But the Prima Gadim is going with Shmiya is Mikarev, Hazan is Mirachim. Okay, anyway, Bizamek, wish you all a good Gebenster, Ksiva Chsima Taiva, and a year of Kiddush Hashem, and Aliyah.